This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. I noticed that we're both sporting our Toronto Maple Leafs jerseys this morning and number 14.
Yeah, Dave Keon's jersey.
Dave Keon. Gonna keep these. I think I'm gonna sleep in this thing until. And I got my Punch Imlac fedora on this morning too. We're gonna see if we can keep this Leaf.
All we need is Toe Blake now.
Let this Leaf roll continue. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capital, Toronto Maple Leaf, Leaping Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Great morning to be alive, gentlemen.
We're certainly breathing a little bit easier this morning after last night's performance by the Toronto Maple Leafs and a remarkable victory in overtime, thanks to Morgan Riley, who is, and in honor of Morgan Riley, who's been doing some sponsorship work with our sponsor Pizzaville. What could be better this morning? We're going to give away some Morgan Riley Pizzaville coupons, $50 gift cards. We'll give out the phone numbers at two times in the show, so we'll certainly do that. Naz, we were a little bit nervous after Tuesday night.
No kidding.
The Leafs didn't get off.
Can I tell them about the drive home? We drove home, and Wally says, what happens if the Leafs are down 3-0? And I was thinking, after the game won, it was 7-3, I go, oh, my God, it's going to happen. We're going to be down 3-0. We're going to be doing this show, and it's going to be awful.
I said, after Tuesday night's game, I said to myself, I can't go in studio Sunday morning with the Leafs down 3-0. I don't know if I can do that show. We're certainly not in the clear. Tampa, you know what?
Sanson also has outplayed Vasilevskiy. That's the thing, right? That's the main thing.
Well, so far, but you know, we know what happened last year, so we're certainly guarded in our optimism, if you want to call it that. I would say Leafs. I don't know if I want to use the term fortunate to win last night, but I won't call it fortunate. I call it key players doing key things at the right times. But overall, territorially, they were outplayed last night. So, you know, they can't. They got to come back at it again Monday night. And Tampa, you know, these guys are pros. John Cooper's a fantastic coach. They've been there before. We certainly, by no stretch of the imagination, is this series anywhere close to being, I wouldn't even use over, it's a series. And Tampa's coming out with all guns blazing Monday night. Lou, your reaction to the Leafs week, I'm sure after Tuesday night's, for lack of a better term, miserable performance, they got booed out of the building. Give them credit, Lou. They came out storming, blazing Thursday night, and they did what they had to do last night. And perhaps the biggest winner from last night might have been Kyle Dubas, because now, you know, without O'Reilly in the lineup last night, I don't think the Leafs would be up 2-1 right now, would they, Lou?
You know what, I thought it was a great week for the Leafs, just the way they responded to Tuesday night. They came out and did whatever they had to do and more or less put Tampa back on their heels. And last night it even showed they came back with a little bit more resilience, you know, being down one goal. And again, the big acquisition that Kyle Dubas made at the trade deadline, getting O'Reilly, But there are some aspects of last game which I didn't like as a player and as a teammate. It's tough to see some of those things that went on last night. But at the end of the day, everybody came out smiling. They were up 2-1 like they were last year. And let's see how Tampa and they both respond on Monday night.
What is it? We can't let that one go that easy. What is it about last night that has got you concerned? You made a reference, and you didn't expand upon it. Go ahead,
Matthews.
Yeah,
thing?
The reference I made was to Riley's penalty on Brayden Point, the altercations that happened afterwards. And then I see.
Yeah, but what trouble?
But,
yeah, but
how does a player
go ahead
still have his gloves on and look at everything that's going on when your teammates are getting ragdolled?
You're talking about Matthews, right?
In every situation.
Yeah, you're talking about Matthews, right, Lou?
No, I'm talking about Mitch Marner.
Oh, Mitch Marner. Oh.
At least Matthews engaged with Steven Stamkos. Even though
he was kind of a slap fight, really,
with his gloves on.
Yeah.
I understand that part of it. But Mitch Marner's looking at everybody, not taking part of this. Like, how do you...
What do you want? Yeah, but come on, Lou, let's be fair, okay?
No,
what do you want? What do you want? What do you want Mitch Marner to do in that situation? He's like all of 5'10", 155 pounds. Like, Mitch Marner to go in there and get hurt? What do you want him to do, Lou?
I want my teammate to support one of those guys because Brayden Point was injured, so he didn't have to do that. Just engage. Don't stand there like a mummy or and watch this thing go on.
I don't know. I beg to differ with you on that one. Like
I'm not saying we come from different worlds.
There's certain.
I played the game.
Yeah.
I've watched players do this, and I've actually been in a situation where in junior hockey. There was a 5-on-5 scrum, and two guys on our team had their gloves on, looking at, staring at each other. What do we do next?
To be honest with you, Lou,
head pounded.
Yeah, I just don't think that's Marner's. You know, I think the fact that he doesn't drop his gloves, you know,
you don't have to drop your gloves. Engage in something like they do nowadays. Grab somebody from the throat or from the neck or from behind.
Yeah.
Don't just stand there giving directions.
How do you feel about that?
I feel that, yes, you should protect all your players, right? You should be all up front with this. But Marner is the type of guy, he's pretty frail out there. He's going to get hurt if he does fight, right? And do you endanger him getting hurt? I don't know.
Am I in there? What happens if one of your other players is getting his head pounded?
Well... You know what?
Stamkos decided to take liberties on Austin Matthews.
Yeah, but it didn't happen, right?
It doesn't matter. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. I just thought I don't.
Okay.
I didn't remember
the play. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. Obviously, you were paying a little bit more attention. I hearken back to a time like if Larry Robinson and Don Selesky are in a fight, what do I expect Guy Lafleur to do? I expect Guy Lafleur to get away from it.
I expect that. But Brayden Point is hurt, and somebody else is getting pounded.
Oh, anyways, overall, Lou, I didn't want to pick on Mitch Marner this morning,
poor Mitch.
Again, I didn't have any problems with the game at all.
Yeah.
It baffled me as a teammate. And playing the game at that level, that you have a teammate, and whether it's Mitch Marner or whether it's somebody else, he still has got his gloves on, and he's talking to the referee.
Anyways, let's compliment Mitch Marner on the first goal. Took the shot from the blue line that Matthews deflected. There's another gentleman in the Leafs lineup that's been oft criticized. And I've been a party to some of those criticisms, and I'm also fair when I have to be, because I thought he played his best game as a Toronto Maple Leaf last night, Justin Holl. I certainly thought he did play his best game in very difficult circumstances, drew a couple of penalties, for made some good decision making. I've criticized them like crazy in the past over his decision making, but when you got to give somebody a pat on the back, I think you have to give him a pat on the back, and I certainly think Justin Hole deserves a pat on the back this morning. Naz?
Certainly does. He played well, and he's the first guy on the penalty kill on defense, and offensively he's not great, but defensively he's played really well, and I see some big things with him in the upcoming games for sure.
Louis, any thoughts on Justin Hole last night?
I think Justin Holt played a very, very simple game. He did what he had to do. He didn't step outside of his boundaries. Realizing what the situation is, he kept everything as simple as he possibly can and never got himself into any trouble.
Go ahead, Ness.
Louis, is Michael Bunting going to be back in the lineup? Do you think they're going to bring him back? Would you bring him back?
I don't think Matthew Nyes is ready. You don't have a choice but to put Michael Bunting back in the lineup, even though they've won two games. But at the end of the day, which Michael Bunting are you going to get? You're going to get somebody that's going to cause you guys to lose a game, then you got to be careful with that. That's the only thing that I'm worried about.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the fence on that one, but I think I think Sheldon Keefe will probably go back to Michael Bunting. He's the guy who played the entire season. Bunting ain't gonna change his game. I mean, that's his game. He's a scrappy little fighter out there. That's his role on that line with Matthews and Marner, to dig. Make other people keep their heads. He's just got to learn how to. Hopefully he's learned his lesson, and he's got to stay focused and he's got to stay disciplined. But I can't see that Keefe's not going to put him back in the lineup. I'm not seeing that. On that note, guys, we've got to go to break. We're going to come back with Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster Harry Neal. We'll continue this this hockey discussion, NHL playoffs. Later on in the show, we're going to bring on Butch Carter, and we'll talk about some serious events in Toronto Raptors land this week and also the NBA playoffs that are going on. And as I promised, we will, when we come back from the break, I'll give out the numbers and we will give away our first $50 Pizzaville gift card. We'll be right back.
No hard prices. No.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville decided to do what it could to stop world prices from spiralling out of control. With the large pickup special, get a large one topping pizza for only $11.99. $11.99 for a large pizza?
No, leave Pizzaville. No.
Call Pizzaville for the large pickup special at 736-3636.
Rayo's got big nose!
Or online at pizzaville.ca.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right.
The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video and audio streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We've got to give away a $50 Pizzaville gift card. Here's the numbers. 416-360-0740. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. First caller will be giving away another gift card at the end of the show. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster, Harry Neal. Harry, good morning. How are you? And thank you for joining us.
Okay. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Harry. Harry, they're saying this morning across the newspapers and across the social media universe that the Leafs stole the game last night. Did they steal the game, Harry?
Well, I certainly thought while the game went on that they were going to be in trouble if they didn't improve. Their goaltender was really good. But, you know, it's the same old story in the playoffs. Sometimes the team that plays well in the third period but didn't do much in the first two wins the game, and when you tie the game as late as they did, you got a great advantage going into overtime. So it's not if you won. I mean, it's not how you won, it's if you won.
Vasilevskiy seems off now, right now, Harry. Do you think they should make a how come that happens to goalies when they don't play well?
Well, they're like anybody else. The trouble is that when they make a mistake, it ends up in the net. When the defenseman makes a mistake, the goalie bails them out. When the forward makes a mistake, the defenseman helps them. So it's a difficult position to play, and you get blamed for things that aren't your fault, and you, like every other player on the ice, make mistakes.
Lou, we'll turn it over to you.
Harry, what do you think that the changing point of last night's game was?
Well, the tying goal so late in the third period. But the Leaf goaltender, Samsonov, is that how you pronounce his name?
Samsonov, yes.
He was excellent, and he had a busier day than the guy at the other end. And so, you know, once you get into overtime, it's not how you played the 60 minutes, it's how you're going to play the overtime. And a lot of the games this year have gone into the second period of overtime, so it's a long night for the players.
Harry, something happened in last night's game that's apparently never happened in the NHL before. I don't know how these statisticians come up with these statistics so quickly or how they would even track this stat. But apparently last night was the first time ever in NHL history that two 60-goal scorers got into a fight together. I'm referring to Stamkos and Matthews. You're a coach behind the bench, and you see your $11 million man, you know, swinging with his fists at somebody's head and visor and helmet. You're sitting behind the bench as a coach. Are you happy that the guy's in there, you know, demonstrating that he's a teammate and he's just like everybody else? Or are you saying, oh, my God, get him out of there?
Well, you certainly don't want to see your two best players get into a fight very often. But in the playoffs, it's a different animal. There's no doubt about it. And both those players probably had good reason to take the gloves off and fight. Neither one of them looked like they'd done it too often, as I recall. But the coach was holding his breath, not to who's going to win, but my guy going to come out healthy? And so I don't think you'll see that happen again. And it's not as if they planned it. It just happened. And that's what happens in the playoffs, especially when you're so interested in winning the game or making sure that nobody pushes you around. So it was different. Doesn't happen very often, and it probably won't ever happen again.
How important was Ryan O'Reilly to the Leafs' attack, Harry?
I can't hear you, sorry.
How important was Ryan O'Reilly to the Leafs?
Very important, and, you know, it never fails in the overtime or in the playoffs, and especially in the overtime, that players who haven't been known as among the best players on your team get the big goal or make the good play to get the goal, and O'Reilly certainly proved last night that when the chips are on the line, he came through, and that's what you need, players that do that.
Lou?
Well, I really thought the two saves that Samsonov made in the overtime, one on Nick Paul and the other one on Kucherov, had a large telling and gave the Leafs a lot more confidence as the period went on. Are they over? Well, okay, let's go. Is Michael Muttin going to be back in the lineup?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the injuries. I know one thing in the playoffs. My players with minor injuries are playing. When you play the games that they're playing, the way they're playing them physically, you got some bruises, that's for sure. So
I couldn't. Suspension, Harry?
Pardon?
Says Michael Bunting's got a suspension.
Did he?
Yeah, I think Lou's we're referencing Michael Bunting, who took out Chernak the other night with the headshot and got the three games. What does Sheldon Keefe do? Does he that's the first game and the Leafs are outclassed in the first game and Bunting's not in the lineup anymore and then they win two games. So when his suspension's up, I think Lou's asking, do you bring him back in or do you keep rolling with the guys who seem to have turned it around?
Well, I think it's easy to say now that they might not bring him back in, but when it says suspension's over, they may find two or three other guys are hurt, yeah. And they're glad he's coming back. So I don't think they have to make their mind up now. And when you come back after a suspension, you usually behave yourself.
I want to ask you, Harry, we've got a body of evidence of three games here. All three games have been completely and utterly different. And Leafs are essentially, from a record point of view, in the same position they were at this time last year, if I'm not mistaken, they had a 2-1 lead on Tampa. Are you seeing anything different about this Leafs team, aside from the obvious? If you, after three games of looking at this series, are you seeing the Leafs? Are you confident they're going to win the series? Is it still a toss-up? What are you seeing, Harry?
Well, I think the Leafs are playing pretty well, and I don't think Tampa's playing as well as they can or have. But I wouldn't put a one-cent bet on who's going to win that series. The team that wins, if the Leafs win the next game, then they got three games to do it. But Tampa has been in the playoffs and has gone right to the finals and has won. So they know that it's just the one game. They can't be worried about what the game-winning record is. Can they win the game they're in? And if they lose, the Leafs have three chances to finish them off. And Tampa knows that better than anybody.
Harry, are the Leafs tough enough to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I think they are, but Tampa's a better playoff team as far as experience is concerned, and that may show up as the series goes on and the games get more important, especially to the team that's behind in the series. So I, if you pointed a gun at my head and said, who's going to win? I'd say don't shoot, but I don't know.
Certainly that's the way Leafs fans are holding our collective breaths. It's every game's certainly got all of Leafs Nation on edge. Lou, we're going to let Harry go shortly, but I'll take it around one more time. Go ahead, Lou.
How much of a difference has Hedman made in last night's game compared to the first two where he didn't play?
Well, you know, he was good. I mean, there's when you don't play the first two games of the playoffs, you're upset, and your motivation is at an all-time high. And so when he got in, he proved that maybe he should play the next game and that he didn't play the last game, but that's the way it goes. You'd like not do it, but you're sitting out players that you'd like to play, but they play in a position that maybe you're loaded with talent.
We're talking to Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster Harry Neal. Harry, just want to go around the league a little bit. We always know first round's a tough round to get through. There's always upsets. Are you a little bit surprised that the Oilers seem to be having a struggle out west. Lost a couple of overtime games, and if they don't win today, they're certainly going to have some heat on them. Any surprises there, Harry?
Well, I am surprised that Edmonton is not ahead in the series, or at least even in the series. But it'll be interesting to see how they look at the fact that they don't want to get down 3-1. But in the playoffs, especially when as many games has gone to overtime as they have so far, you know, it's not how you played the first four periods, as many of the overtimes have gone into the second period. It's how you play the last overtime, or how you play the last shift of the second overtime. And when you get into a one-goal game, it's not anybody's guess who's going to win, especially when overtime's going to finish it.
Any surprises so far in terms of I check the odds every Sunday morning. The Athletic updates the odds who's going to win the Stanley Cup. The Leafs have been hanging around third and fourth for a while, but the team that's risen up into number three are the New York Rangers. They had a couple of impressive early performances against the Devils on the road, and lost one in overtime. But the Rangers look pretty good, Harry. They may be a team that might be around for a while in these playoffs.
Yeah, if you pointed a gun at a lot of people's heads and said, how are the Rangers going to do? They'd say they're going to be, if not in the finals, they're going to be awful close to it, and if they get in the finals, they could win. They got depth, and they're getting goaltending, and, you know, it's a long haul in the Stanley Cup race, and it means that you got to have players who haven't really been a serious factor during the season. They have to become one, and the Rangers look to me like they've got four good lines. They're getting good goaltending. Their defense is quite good offensively, especially. And if you had to say to me who's got the best chance of winning the Stanley Cup, it's pretty tough after three or four first round games. But I'd say the Rangers would be one that you might think seriously about winning.
How much of a difference, Harry, does it make in when you got to grind out four playoff series? Depth, guys are getting scarred, they're losing their teeth, they're, cuts all over the place, bruises, hamstrings, all that goes on in the playoffs. It's the biggest grind in all of sports. How much difference does it make, if a team manages to get through the first round without having to sweat all that much? In your estimation, how much difference does that make?
Well, you don't want to be playing four seven-game series. I don't think anybody's done that and won the Stanley Cup. But it's a grind. I mean, and that's why depth is really more important than it is during the season. Can guys who aren't major factors in your team's success come through in the playoffs? And we see it every year, some surprises, positive surprises, and some negative surprises. So I think the Rangers have something going that not all the teams in the playoffs do, and that is depth at every position.
Yeah, certainly do. Harry, we can't thank you enough. We always appreciate your insights. We're happy to hear you're doing fantastic, and thank you so much for joining us, as always. Appreciate it, Harry.
Well, if you believe me, it's your fault.
Harry Neal still hasn't lost the step. Always love having him on the show. Keep well, my friend. Gentlemen, before we go to break, we got Butch Carter coming on. An issue that came up, we were just chatting about very briefly. Why don't we go back to it before we go to break?
Mitch Marner?
No, let's leave Mitch Marner alone, because I got to go back. I'll respect Louis. He played in the NHL. I didn't play in the NHL, and he didn't even remind me about that this morning. So,
well, he kind of did, though.
Well, I got to give him credit.
That's okay. I never saw it either.
I didn't see the incident. I'll go back and review the tapes, and we'll certainly take Lou's thoughts into account. But Michael Bunting. Okay, Louis. Sheldon Keefe is going to have a decision to make, let's say, after, well, he's suspended for Monday night's game, I presume.
Monday night, yep.
So he's eligible for next Wednesday night's game.
Correct.
He'd be eligible.
Wednesday or Thursday. I think they have a break.
Oh, they might have a break? Okay. So he'd be eligible for game five? Is that the way I get it?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, Lou, you're Sheldon Keefe. Let's say the Leafs win. Let's say the Leafs win game four, and they're up 3-1. They're on a roll, three games in a row. You put Bunting back in the lineup, Lou?
I definitely do, because Matthew Nye has not really showed me anything that he's a difference maker, where I think Michael Bunting could be a difference maker if he plays within in the lines and behaves himself, because he could be a very, very good distraction on some of the Tampa Bay players that aren't used to being distracted. And we know that Kucherov has got a very short fuse. And if Michael Bunting was smart, or Sheldon Keefe was smart, he would have a sit down and have a little chat with him and say, listen, anytime you're on the ice with Kucherov, do your job and just try to get under his skin, but stay away from all the shenanigans that will come along with it after.
That hit could win the series for the Leafs too, right? Mike, with Chernik out, Chernik is one of their best defensemen. He's out, and it was Bunting that knocked him out.
Doesn't make John Cooper feel any better, but
it happened to the Leafs with Tavares when Perry hit him against Montreal.
Yeah, except that one was an accident. The one with Perry?
Oh, was it? I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
Was it an accident, Lou? I don't want to talk about playoff series that happened a couple of years ago.
Corey Perry doesn't. He's been around
Perry.
Too long, and he's too good of a player.
He's knocked a few guys out, not just Tavares.
In any event, what do you think about? What do you think about? Naz, I'll turn to you, and then Louis, and then we'll go to break. What do you think about Nyes's game? Isn't, you know, given, I mean, you talk about throwing a rookie into a difficult situation, pressure packed.
But they must think well highly of him. They put him out in the 6-on-5 at the end of the game.
What do you think of his? What do you think of his game?
I think his game is fine.
You got to figure out a way.
Offensive skills. He's got some good size.
Louis, what do you think of his game? How do you try and figure out?
I think he's still raw.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's not going to have a good career, and he doesn't look out of place. I just don't think that he's going to be the difference maker that a Michael Bunting would be, that's all.
Yeah, fair comment. Anyways, on that note, just to let everybody know, the first winner of our Pizzaville gift card, Anthony Piano. Anthony, thank you so much for calling in. I understand you're a regular listener of our show, and we appreciate that. And to all our listeners, we've received a couple of emails, a special one from Angelo, Ange. If you want to email us, nazandwally@mzmedia.com. Always appreciate comments from listeners. And we come back from break, we're going to have Butch Carter, and we're going to give away the second Pizzaville $50 gift card. Thanks. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video and audio streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. As promised, our second Pizzaville gift card. Phone numbers, 416-360-0740. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And on the subject of Pizzaville, just got a text from our Mr. Pizzaville man, Angelo, who's been our loyal sponsor for over 9 years. He's got his own thoughts about Morgan Riley, because Morgan Riley's been sponsoring Pizzaville this year. He goes, 4 points in game two and overtime winner in game three. That's what happens when you eat Pizzaville pizza. Naz?
I agree with him. I agree.
And also had some comments on Matthew Nyes. He says, the Leaf rookie was great last night. Can't understand why you guys can't see that. Anyways, Angelo.
It wasn't you guys. It was you guy.
Angelo, thanks for your comment. Without further ado, we're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour a good friend of the show, former Raptors coach Butch Carter. Good morning, Butch. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. I see you guys are stirring up trouble already.
Hey, listen.
Butch, what did you think of Matthew Nyes' play last night?
I thought they were awesome. You know, I was afraid they were not going to win the game. And they seemed to have more backbone than we've seen before. And I thought he played extremely well, especially for a rookie. But, you know, some guys put the uniform on, and from the day they put the uniform on, they play like they belong. And I think that's the most important comment I can make. He really played like he belonged where he was at.
So we've got a difference of opinion on this. So we're stirring up trouble. Butch, you got to, you know what, next time we give you a call, you got to come back. We got to get you and Lou back in studio and have...
I'll be the referee.
Well, we might just have something today because I'm pissed off at something else that's going on last night.
And no, let's go. We got to talk. Lou, you can call me after the show. We'll talk about it. But we got to get some basketball in here. But
it's about basketball. It's not about anything else.
Okay. If it's about basketball, okay, Lou, I'll give you the first shot. Go to it. As long as it's something we can say on the air, go ahead.
But
yeah,
what is Mr. Dylan Brooks thinking of? Is he that much of a, you know what?
Don't finish the sentence. Okay.
And I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah, Dylan.
I'm a big time Laker fan, more or less a closet Laker fan. But I don't know what this guy is thinking.
Dylan has let the moment get away from him that he thinks he's someone else, some superhuman. The league is going to do to him and Draymond what they need to do to stop this ignorance. I feel bad because I know Dylan was one of the guys that suggested he go to Oregon, worked him out a couple times. He's doing the wrong thing. It needs to stop. But he's built this alter ego as being the co-conspirator of Draymond. And we've seen this movie. It doesn't end well. It's just not going to end well.
No, I just like you like, who do you think you are? You're calling one of the greatest players in basketball history. You're disrespecting him. You're calling him old. I mean, you know, if that happened in hockey, man, you know, you'd see some theatrics out on the ice. But I don't get it. I don't get it, Butch. You know, how do you show such disrespect? I mean, you know, he's in a lot of people's books 1-2 with Michael as the best player in history.
Look, we all in every profession run into people that are immature, and they think the moment is about them instead of someone that's accumulated respect and shown their character over a period of time. And this is what we're seeing in Dylan. But, you know, guys, to me, this is the franchise's problem. They let it get to this point. They let Ja Morant and all the stuff he was doing get to this point. It's really the franchise. This is, in my opinion, all right, franchises that are run by Anglo men are always afraid to stop a young black male from doing something that's going to destroy it. And for me, most of my success as coaching is that I look them in the eye and tell them they can do better. This stuff with Ja Morant, they knew about. They've got NBA security with the team all the time. This stuff going on with Dylan, I mean, Dylan posted a video this past week, someone sent me, where his hair was unbraided, it was straightened, and he had hair as long as Raquel Welch doing a video. Right? So, I mean, the reality is that some teams feel that their obligation is only within the contract. And, you know, in my opinion, my ability to look a player in the eye, regardless of color, and say, hey, you can do better and stop the crap, was what led why we could always go fast and win games.
Yep. Wise words. Butch, I want to take it back closer to home. Raptors land. Yep. Obviously, the shoe fell this week. The shoe dropped, whatever the cliche is. Masai did, I guess, what some people felt he had to do, was replace the coach. Let me see how I'm going to phrase this. It seemed to be an obvious move in the last couple of weeks of the season. Was it the right move?
Well, look, I believe Nick dug his grave when Doug Smith wrote the article asking him, you know, what's he going to do after the season? So, you know, no one's been around the team longer than Doug Smith. Someone gave him inside information that Nick wanted out. And that's how they presented it to the public. So it was a preemptive strike. Messiah's president has got a problem, and it's with his team. Nick probably felt he wasn't going to get a contract extension, so get out while you can. We can go get another job, right? And he quietly, I believe, forced his way out. Messiah's got a problem. He's got a team that won't guard. You take the play-in game, fourth quarter. All Chicago did as a team was said, put your head down and drive to the basket, and they won't stop us. And they didn't. They've accumulated talent. You know, they'll sell you Scotty Barnes, but I said, you know, you guys have heard me. I didn't like Scotty Barnes at Florida State. And the reason is he's not a basketball player. He is an athlete, and no one through player development has made him a basketball player. If they would have made him a basketball player, he would not have missed all those crucial free throws. But he did. And other members of his team did. So they have athletes. Siakam, is he a two-way player? Absolutely not, because you can never put him on the best player on the other team at crunch time. So there are problems with the team that go to, they have athletes, but they do not have a complete basketball player, except Fred VanVleet, and Fred has been known to be injured. And what happens is now the league is going, you know, freedom of movement, so there are more points scored in the game. What that means is that you have to develop more players to score in a 130-point game than you did in a 100-point game. And that player development is what you're seeing a lack of with the current Raptor roster. And you pick a name and tell me how good he is on both sides of the ball. And all the analytics are right there for them to see on individual defense as far as their defensive efficiency. But it reflects directly into their opponent's amount of points they're scoring and their defensive field goal percentage. These are all things that are basic to understanding player development. And if you can't capture the data, you can't roll it into your player development.
But yes. Is there another shoe to drop here? Because I think one of the guys who's probably going to be gone is Siakam, right?
Well, I mean, again, Masai's always tried to improve the team and has not been afraid of moving people. But, I mean, if your core guy is not a two-way player, you know, and look, I understood when I drafted Vince that he wasn't going to be a two-way player for a while. And so I made Doug Christie guard all of the all-star players. And that gave Vince a chance to mature. And he became a two-way player because whoever was guarding him, he was going to get two fouls on, and they would have to use a backup as the next guy. Very seldom did an all-star end up guarding him. So, you know, the reality is that there are two segments. And I always, you guys hear me say that when you talk about analytics, there are two sides of the analytics. And they'll say what are bad analytics. And bad analytics can be improved through player development. But you're basically seeing the athletes that they drafted over the last 3 years not being developed to where they're full basketball players. And Nick is a really good coach. He developed into a really good coach, but he basically saw the light that they were not getting it done with this group. And because Masai is such an alpha king, all right, he's not going to listen to any kind of compromise or collaboration. So, you know, the Knicks' benefit, he got out with his name being good. There are two jobs open. Probably a third one will open. And I would think Nick would have to be considered.
The Raptors have lost their first-round pick, Butch. And I didn't see – was Hurdle worth it for the Raptors? I don't think so.
No. I mean, it's clear he wasn't. I mean, but again, the reality is that you can make a deal, but they have to do two things. They have to make two deals and reset their salary cap. And that's why you said Siakam. They're going to have to reset their salary cap because, you know, I never understood how Siakam is so successful because he looks like the most fatigued player on the court when he plays. But they clearly have defensive holes and – you can't compete and get to where you have home court advantage in the playoffs unless you clean up those defensive holes.
Butch, I don't know if you saw the they polled the NBA players themselves about who should be the MVP, and they had a whole different list of questions they asked the NBA players themselves. And one of the interesting, I like to comment on two of them. One of the interesting ones was the MVP in the league, and the Canadian kid Gildress Alexander down with the Thunder actually got mentioned in the MVP category and underrated category. And interestingly enough, Pascal Siakam was fourth, the fourth most overrated player in the league. Respond to our great Canadian kid, and also to Pascal.
Well, the kid at Oklahoma City has shown himself to be a real talent. Doesn't get any attention because he's in Oklahoma, but in the games he's been an all-star and plays like an all-star. Probably needs a better opportunity in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's got about 15 draft picks. So I don't know if they turn him loose as they reset their team, but he clearly has been effective. Look, this is the reality. I'm going to evaluate the players based off how they play against the top four teams in the East and top four teams in the West, right? So, you know, give me Siakam's best games against, you know, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, and that's how I would rate him, not just what he scores, but, you know, who does he guard? So that's the true way to evaluate an all-star, and that's why they would say that Siakam got the payday, but he doesn't play in the ability of playing against the top four in the East or the West. So it's a fair assessment. But, look, I can't blame Siakam and his agent for signing the contract. If Toronto was stupid enough to put it in front of him, you know, they need to be stupid enough to sign it.
I know a show on that. Lou, you want to join in?
Butch, when do you think the Raptors started to, more or less, as we would say it as players, lock out Nick Nurse or his voice in the dressing room? Because we know that sometimes Nurse's structure on defense is very hard, and it's only so many players can buy into it. And obviously, with the way the game of basketball is going nowadays, it's more or less in the rearview mirror, so to speak, because it's all offense, it's three-point shooters, and it didn't look like the Raptors players this year actually wanted to listen or wanted to buy into Nick Nurse's defensive structure, because we know that was the key to their success over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would say it's directly related to Fred VanVleet's injury, because the coach is the first voice, and then your leadership is your second voice. And when he lost Fred not playing, he lost that loyalty and that voice and that manager to manage things. And it's sad that it happened that way after Fred was so good in helping them win the championship. But I'd say it directly correlates to Fred VanVleet not being in the locker room, not being on the court available to play. Is as soon as that happened, Nick lost his voice. Fred would have been the most vocal. He would have been mentored under Kyle. I don't think he's afraid of saying what needs to be said, but it's one thing just to be able to say it. But when the young guys see it, and they traded for guys who I don't believe are team guys. So, you know, they'll say, you know, Gary Trent, you know, I had his dad here, but does he make winning plays on both ends? You know, he basically wants to shoot the basketball. So it's a tough space to be in. And if you don't have the people who can get the guys developed in the summer and going into training camp, you know, you're going to be behind the eight ball. But he lost his voice when he lost Fred.
Butch, some commentators after the season were over looked at this Raptors team and said that they underachieved. And I thought about that, and I don't think they underachieved. I just – that's literally what they were. What did we expect this team with this talent to do more than what they actually did?
First of all, look, let's go straight to it, all right? The team is owned by two media giants, all right? They change the narrative however they want to change it, all right? So you're better off watching a Raptor game and turning the volume down, because they're only going to report what they're told to report. That's how they make a living. The team did not underachieve. The team was not very good from the start, and, you know, they were who they were. If they were better than that, the team did not underachieve, especially with Fred not being able to play. So, but as long as you have a monopoly in ownership and media, you know, you're basically going to have to wear a pair of boots to listen to what they're telling you.
Or you got to listen to Zoomer Radio with Butch Carter on Sunday mornings. go ahead, Ned.
Did Nick Nurse develop his bench, or why didn't he develop his bench? Or is the talent not there?
The talent's not there. Right? When you come in with bench guys, they have to have a specialty and be effective at that specialty 75 to 80% of the time. All right, and it was basically a cluster chuck, you know. It was
almost
no.
You got me worried about how you were going to pronounce that, Butch.
You're getting as bad as Lou.
You made me nervous there. Anyways, Butch, you got 30 seconds left, and we got to let you go.
Hey, congratulations on your ninth year.
Thanks, Butch.
And thanks very much for allowing me to be a small part of it.
You've been a big part of it. Butch, and thanks for all your contributions to our show. We appreciate it.
And anytime you want me to argue a little over red line and blue line, just give me a little extra time.
Right? We'll give you a little extra time.
I'm all in for it, buddy. I know you play for Bobby Knight. So.
Anyways, we're gonna have the four horsemen of the apocalypse reunion in studio soon. So Lou and Butch, get ready. You're coming back to studio in the next couple of weeks. Anyways, thanks. Butch, we got to let you go. Thanks so much for joining us. Butch Carter. Naz, we got about 30 seconds left.
Have the four of us in here again?
Yeah, we got to get the testosterone flowing.
Hey, Lou, there's a glass in front of us, a plexiglass. So
let me see if I can be like the yellow guy and push this thing over.
I'm not a chirper. And one thing, guys, you didn't bring up today.
What?
The Yankees.
We got to save that one, Lou.
Yesterday.
We got to save that one, Lou. Anyways,
Vladimir Guerrero will never play for the Yankees, okay, Lou? So we'll take that.
Anyways, next Sunday morning, where will we be in this series? We'll have played game six.
Yes.
And we might be going to game seven.
I hope it's five.
Okay, that's what I predicted last Sunday. Anyways,
you're the only one who predicted that. We'll
see what happens. Anyways, Naz, the clock has struck 10. It's time for last word.
Go Leafs, go.
Go Leafs, go. Absolutely. And our second winner this morning, Pizzaville gift card, Craig Foster. Thanks so much for joining. Thanks very much for calling in and your kind words about the show. If you want to correspond with us during the week, the email address is nazandwally, A-N-D-andwally, at mzmedia.com. Have a fantastic week. Go Leafs, go. We'll be back again next Sunday morning.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.